إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إن شاء الله تعالى in the next following 3 or 4 weeks بإذن الله رب العرش العظيم، we will إن شاء الله be going through مجالس رمضان, some benefits from that مجالس رمضان by شيخ ابن ثيمين رحمه الله تعالى. We'll spend إن شاء الله تعالى maybe 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes with regards to these benefits and so forth. And then we'll go to the explanation of Al-Ha'iyya from Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Abi Dawood, rahimahullah ta'ala, Sijistani, which is a book or a poem, I should say, which is dealing with the aqidah, the correct belief that the Muslim has to have, the belief of Ahl al-Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the belief of the Salafiyin. So without further ado, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go through some of the benefits that Sheikh Muthaymin mentions in these majalis, yani his sittings regards to the virtues of Ramadan. The first sitting that the Sheikh, rahmallahu ta'ala, mentioned was the fadl of Shahr Ramadan, the virtue of the month of Ramadan, the virtue of the month of Ramadan. The Sheikh began and said, Alhamdulillah alladhi ansha wa bara. He began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his khutbah, Tahajjud, and his muqaddimah, and his introduction, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rububiyyah, and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And then he, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions a verse in Surah Al-Taha, verse number 6 to 8, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. And in his praise, rahimahullah ta'ala, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the verse in Surah Al-Taha, two verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and for him is the heavens and the earth, and what's between them, and what's underneath or beneath the soils. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you make your qawl, or your dua, apparent, loud, if it's said loudly, for verily Allah even hears that which is hidden. For verily Allah knows and hears that which is hidden. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa lahul asma al-husna. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the verse by saying, Allah, the one that there's none deserve to be worshipped in reality except him, and for him are the perfect names. And for him are the perfect names. Now in this verse, my dear brothers and elders, it shows the way of the Quran, the way of this revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a mercy to mankind, revealed subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shows the importance of a tawheed. It shows the importance of a tawheed. In that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began by mentioning his rububiyyah, for him is the heavens and the earth. This is rububiyyah, his lordship. This is the tawheed of Allah's lordship, i.e. that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he possesses them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some of his attributes like knowledge, and hearing, and if whichever call or whichever statement that is made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hear it, and even if it's something that's hidden, Allah would know about it. Again, talking about Allah's names and attributes. And then at the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, there's none that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And this is Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed of worship, the reason that we have been created. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn or the mankind except for worship. So this shows the way of proof or istidlal of the Quran in establishing the three types of Tawheed. In that, first was mentioned the rububiyyah, the lordship, and then mentioned the names and attributes, meaning that the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who possesses the dominion of the heavens and the earth, the one who has names, perfect names, and perfect attributes, he's the one that deserves to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that deserves to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the uslub of the Quran, as Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him have mentioned. And then the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his introduction, very, very, very important points that the Shaykh mentioned in his introduction. He mentioned those of the Anbiya that passed. He mentioned, first of all, Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah made him victorious. And then he mentioned Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah made him victorious. And then he mentioned Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Allah gave him 9 miracles in his call and his da'wah to Fir'aun. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the miracles that Allah gave him. And then he mentioned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the miracle of the Quran, the wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed him the Quran, and in it is guidance. Now this is al-ibar for all of us. This is for us to recognize and realize that the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory is the one that obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. I have sent to every nation a messenger telling them to worship Allah alone and stay away from false deities. And all of the Anbiya, they done this call, and they called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hence they received victory, wallahu ma'al mu'mineen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is with the believers, i.e. He is there to support, aid, and give victory to the believers. And then after this introduction that the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned, he goes into some of the virtues of this month, this blessed month of Ramadan. He mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185, the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed as a guidance for mankind, and clarification and a criterion. This is a virtue of this month, in that this is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And also this is the month in which Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam, would revise the Quran with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, as is mentioned in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam wa radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said to her, كان جبريل يعارضه بالقرآن كل عام وعارضه في عام مرتين. And in this hadith, where Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her that Jibril used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every year and revise the Quran once. And in one year he revised it twice. Okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inni la ara illa an jaa ajli, or kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I do not see except that my death is near. Yani when it was revised twice, and then Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, ana ni'ma salafi lak, said, I am a blessed salaf for you. The Prophet ﷺ said to Fatima that I'm a blessed salaf for you, I am a predecessor for you, which is one of the proofs of the term salafi, which means that which preceded you. So therefore, who's Fatima's salaf, ya akhi? Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's Fatima's salaf. As the Prophet ﷺ says, I am a blessed salaf to you. So here it shows the virtue of this month of Ramadan, in which this is the month that the Quran was revealed, and also it's the month in which the Quran was revised, and it was revised twice in the last year of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Sheikh Ibn Thaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he went on to mention a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be quite honest, in the first majlis, in the first sitting in the virtues of Ramadan, it can also be connected to the second majlis or sitting, which is talking about the virtue of fasting. We can combine both of those. And the Sheikh began by mentioning now the virtues of fasting. The Sheikh now begins to mention the virtue of fasting. And he mentions the hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is in Sahih Muslim and Bukhari. Now, most of the narrations that we find discussing and talking about the virtues of Ramadan is narrated by Abu Huraira. A lot of the hadith, in fact, most of the hadith that we find in narrations with regards to the virtue of fasting in the month of Ramadan and fasting in general is generally from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, except for a few. And the first of those narrations, the Shaykh Hafidh rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned is the hadith where he said, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, where Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يقول, that when the month of Ramadan comes, or when the month of Ramadan comes, the gates of Jannah is opened. The gates of Jannah is opened, وَغُلِقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ, and the gates of hellfire are closed. And the gates of hellfire are closed. Now this is a virtue of this month of Ramadan, in that the gates of Jannah is open and the gates of the hellfire are closed. This is accompanied by another hadith, which is by Sahal, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, Sahal ibn Sa'ad. Another hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, which is narrated from Sahal ibn Sa'ad, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Prophet ﷺ يقول, إن في الجنة باب يسمى الريان. The Prophet ﷺ said that in Jannah there's a door. That in Jannah there's a door. And this door is called الريان. And this door is called الريان. لا يدخل فيه إلا الصائمين. صائمون. That none enters these doors or these gates except for the fasting ones. Except for the fasting ones. And in another narration of the Prophet ﷺ connected to this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ أُغْلِقَ. The Prophet ﷺ said, when the fasting individual enters the door, enters this door, it's locked after him. It's locked after him, showing the virtues of Ramadan and virtues of fasting in Ramadan. And this is also accompanied again from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Haqqah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, drink and eat, هَنِيئًا, drink and eat, هَنِيئًا, in tranquility, in peace, with ease, for that which you left behind in the dunya, in those hard days in the dunya. So this shows the virtue of the person of fasting. Why? Because Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this verse in Surah Al-Haqqah was revealed for the fasting people. Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the ulama of tafsir, he said that this verse, kulu washrabu hani'a, that this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, eat and drink in tranquility for that which you went through in the hard days in the dunya, he said rahimahullah ta'ala, that this was revealed for the fasting person. That this was revealed for the fasting person. So therefore, the gates of Jannah are open. The gates of Jannah are open, number one. There is a door in Jannah called Ar-Rayyan, number two. There's a door in Jannah called Ar-Rayyan. And this door is for the fasting person. This door is for the fasting person, and none enters this door except for the fasting person. And when the fasting people enter, after that, it is locked, as is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And this hadith is in Tirmidhi, and Sheikh Al-Bani said it was sahih. And then after this, Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the narration from Imam Ahmed, it's in Musnad of Imam Ahmad, again on Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he mentioned a few statements of the Prophet in this hadith. The hadith is weak. This hadith is weak jiddan. It's a weak hadith, it's not authentic. And the ulama have spoken about this, the isnad in this hadith, and it's narrated in Al-Bazar. The hadith is narrated in Al-Bazar, and it's when the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ said that this ummah has been given five things that has not been in Ramadan, that has not been given to any other ummah. And from those is the smell of the mouth of the fasting person, which is more beautiful and more pure than the smell of musk. And that the angels will give forgiveness for the fasting person until they break the fast, until the end of the hadith. Now this hadith is not authentic and it's weak, but we have another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which strengthens some of the aspects of this hadith. And we're going to go through this hadith, inshallah. We have some of the narration again by who, Ikhwan? Who do we think is narrator, Ikhwan? And the hadith by Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And again, this hadith, yeah, Ikhwan, compiles a lot of benefits of Ramadan, so we're going to probably spend our time on this hadith alone before we start ha'i, inshallah ta'ala. This hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يقول, كل عمل ابن آدم له الحسنة بأشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف. Where Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that all of the actions of the people, the children of Adam, yani us, is for him 10 times the reward for one deed, up to 700 multiplied. Up to 700 multiplied. وقال الله عز وجل, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in hadith al-Qudsi, إِلَّا السِّيَامُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي, except for fasting, because it's for him, he said, because it's for me. وَأَنَا أُجْسِي بِهِ, إِنَّهُ تَرَكَ شَهْوَاتُهُ وَطَعَامُهُ وَشِرَابُهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي, because he left his, I will give him the reward for it, because he left his desires, his food, and his drinking because of me. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, وَلِخُلُول فَمِّ الصَّائِمِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَطْيَبُ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ, and the smell of the breath of the fasting individual is more pure, is purer to Allah than misk, is purer to Allah than musk. Now this is the hadith. This hadith is authentic. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala mentions two aspects of this hadith, or one aspect of this hadith, and another hadith which supports one of the aspects of the other hadith. And the first aspect that is established in this hadith is the fact that the breath of the fasting individual is purer to Allah than musk. The breath of the fasting individual is purer to Allah than musk. But within this hadith in itself, we have some benefits. The first of those benefits, in addition, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said that all of the actions of the children of Adam are 10 times, and each deed is 10 times multiplied, up to 700 times multiplied, except for fasting. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith al-Qudsi, because it's for him. Because it's for him. Now Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, in Fath al-Bari, Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, in Fath al-Bari, he mentions the different meanings or explanations for the statement of Allah that the fasting is for him. That the fasting is for him. The first of those is that this is idafa to tashrif. This is idafa to tashrif. I.e., this is Allah attributing fasting to him to show the nobility of fasting. And it's for him. This is Allah attributing fasting to him to show the nobility of fasting. For example, when we say Baytullah, we mean what, Ikhwan? House of Allah. But which one? The Kaaba. Whereas all of the masajid are for Allah. وَأَنَّ مَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. All of the masajid is for Allah. Don't call with Allah anyone. So here when we say Baytullah, we mean the Kaaba. And Allah has attributed Baytullah to him to show the nobility of the Kaaba to every other masjid. So likewise, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with regards to Siyam, فَإِنَّهُ لِي, he's attributing Siyam, fasting, to him to show the virtue of fasting to every other type of worship. And this is the first explanation that the ulama have given for the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Sahih al-Qudsi, for verily fasting is for him. The second of those explanations to show, again, showing the virtue of fasting in the month of Ramadan and so forth, is when some of the ulama have said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "For innahu li," that verily is for him, that this shows that it's sincerely for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it's sincerely for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him, they bring a similitude. They say, for example, an individual has the ability that when he's fasting, yes, we're fasting, we see each other, we look like we're fasting, mouth is dry and so forth. But it is possible for an individual to go under a shed, switch off his light, and eat. But he doesn't. He doesn't do this because he's fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the virtues of fasting, that encourages the individual to improve in his ikhlas, improve in his sincerity, which is the meaning some of the ulama have said when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "For innahu li," which means it is sincerely for him. It's a type of worship that is sincerely for him. The third explanation for the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "For innahu li," that verily is for me. The ulama have said that the foundations or the origins of desires are three things. The origins of desires are three things. The first is eating. Second is drinking. And the third is having relations. Now, in other types of worship, for example, in Hajj, we do not have relations. Sahihullah. But can we eat? Hey, Akhwan. No. Yes, we can eat. Can we drink? No. Okay. In Salah, regards to these three foundational or origins of desires, can we have relations? No. Can we eat? Can we drink? No. But for how long? 10 minutes. Inshallah, not 3 minutes. 10 minutes. But for fasting, how long? Can we eat? Can we drink? Can we have relation? For how long? Hours. For hours. So therefore, the ulama have said, because of this, because in the month of Ramadan or fasting, this fasting, the three foundational desires have been maintained. Yani, the individual stops practicing these three desires for a longer period of time. And there is not another type of worship which does this, showing the virtue of fasting. Showing the virtue of fasting. Before I continue, could you please tell me the meaning of the statement of the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "For verily fasting is for him." Who can give me the explanations for this? The first explanation was... Now, he attributed to himself to show the nobility of fasting with regards to any type of worship. Another one? Naam. It's because fasting is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third? The three origins of desires, which are what? Eating, drinking, and relations. So this shows the virtue of the month of Ramadan. And in this hadith, going back to the hadith of that's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the book of Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, where he says that the angels seek forgiveness for the fasting person until they break their fast. This hadith in its specific wordings is not authentic or established, except for the fact that the ibad, the worshipper, he gets his sins forgiven, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. From the hadith of who, Ikhwan? Abu Hurairah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, "Man qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qama Ramadan, or man sama Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufra lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Where Abu Hurairah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan establishing tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wahtisaban, and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, his past sins are forgiven. And in another hadith by who, Ikhwan? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يقول من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Where Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever prays in the night of decree, which is in which month, Ikhwan? Ramadan. With iman, correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing tawheed. Wahtisaban, seeking the reward, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghufra lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, his previous sins will be forgiven. So from this hadith, it shows that there are forgiveness for the fasting individual in the month of Ramadan, showing the virtue of fasting in the month of Ramadan. And in another hadith, we have, again by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which shows that the sins that are forgiven are the minor sins. And this is the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqul as-salawat al-khams wal ramadan ila ramadan wa afwan salat al-khams wal jum'ah ila jum'ah wal ramadan ila ramadan mukaffirat fi ma baynahuma majtanaba kaba'ir majtanaba kaba'ir. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that from between each prayer, yani salawat al-khamsa, between each of the prayers, and between Jummah and another Jummah, and between Ramadan and another Ramadan, are expiations for one's sins. Are expiations for one's sins. Just as long as he stays away from the major sins. Just as long as he stays away from the major sins. So this hadith, with the other hadith, proves that the forgiveness that is applied with regards to the fasting individual in Ramadan are for his minor sins. As for the major sins, it requires tawbah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith al-Qudsi, kullu bani Adam khata'un wa khayru khata'in tawabun. That all of the children of Adam, they sin, they make mistakes, and the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent. Now Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, yani, in length, the explanation of this hadith, but inshallah ta'ala, for the next lesson inshallah, we'll go into more of the virtues of Ramadan, and that will be the second chapter that the Shaykh has brought, rahimahullah ta'ala. Any questions with regards to that? Can I ask questions? Abu Huraira, yes. The only hadith that I've mentioned that's not narrated by Abu Huraira is the Sahil ibn Sa'd. Sahal ibn Sa'd, which is talking about what? Inna fil Jannah baban yusamma ya shaykhwan. In Jannah there's a door called Rayyan. For who? Huh? For the fasting people. Now, okay, I have a question. No, he didn't mention that actually. But the reason that can come to one's mind is that he's the most narrator on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the most narrator on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He narrated over 5,000 hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahal ibn Sa'd. Sahal ibn Sa'd. Sahal ibn Sa'd.